CliffCentral.com.
It is time to get into the news with Mabalup Molloy. Let's do a little weekend update. Let's find out what we need to know ahead of the weekend. All the things that happened this week that are important. You've come to the right place. All right, Mab, straight to you. The weekend update.
All right, well, we already touched on this earlier, but there was obviously a lot of courtside action in the news this week. And no, I'm not talking about the same courtside that Ben will tell you about come Wimbledon. There were just a lot of people in and out of court this week. So, of course, there was Mark Warona Zinde. Mm-hmm. He appeared in court on charges of murder after the body of his mother, Hope Zinde, was found in the boot of a car. The 28-year-old was ordered to undergo psychiatric evaluation. So we wait to find out what the diagnosis from that is. And then a whole 18 months after the murder of the Van Bredaars in their estate in Cape Town, Henry Van Bredaar was granted bail of 100,000 rand after appearing in court on 3 counts of murder and 1 of attempted murder. This is after he handed himself over to the police in Stellenbosch. And then, of course, Oscar Pistorius has just a little under 3 weeks to prepare himself for being sentenced. That will happen on the 6th of July when Judge...
I did not find that reader.
Lady, the witness is emotional. May we take adjournment?
Yeah.
When Judge Thokozile Masipa will hand down the final sentencing. So that will be on the 6th of July. The judge heard testimony from various witnesses this week, including Reva's father, Barry Steenkamp, who said that Oscar needs to pay for what he did. Social media was also very divided on whether Oscar, being made to remove his prosthetic legs and walk around on his stumps, was used to highlight his vulnerability or as a manipulative tactic to hijack court proceedings.
Anything goes when you're trying to mitigate or aggravate sentence.
Yeah.
And by the way, I do not understand these people who are all upset on Oscar's behalf that he did this. His legal team decided to do this. He was part of that decision.
Yes. They said, we think it will be a good idea if you remove the prosthetics and if you walk around, right, it will get you sympathy. Which it did, because you did see a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, I feel so sorry for him. So for some people it worked. For other people, they're like, okay, and then what? It's all part of the procedure.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Over to the U.S., where federal investigators have now turned their attention onto the Orlando shooter's widow.
Mm.
That is now Noor Salman. They are searching for clues to discover how much she knew about Mateen's attack on the gay nightclub Pulse.
She might have known that he was going to do it.
Yes. Now, she has been cooperating with various law enforcement agencies. You know, they've brought her in for questioning, and they say that she has been cooperating. She told investigators that Mateen told her that he had an interest in carrying out a jihadist attack. She has conceded that she had suspicions of where Mateen was headed the night that he went to Pulse to carry out the attack. Some reports, and I remember seeing this on the Daily Mail, I think, they went as far as mentioning that Noor Salman was even present on some of the drives when Mateen would go out looking for specific places to target. Apparently, he did a drive to Disneyland because he was considering that as an option. And then he ultimately decided
on the crocodiles and alligators got Disneyland covered. Huh? You don't have to worry about that place, dude.
Now, I read in an article that she even bought him ammunition.
Well, you see, this is the thing. There are a lot of reports now, which is why the investigation has switched to her. Now, she's told authorities that she did try to tell her husband not to go through with the attack. But authorities are taking exception to the fact that she did not report her suspicions to anyone. And as a result, an investigation is now being conducted to determine whether or not she should be charged with something.
Yeah, you're going down, honey.
Because if she knew that he was definitely going out to Pulse to shoot a whole bunch of people and she didn't go and report it to the authorities, then she will be held liable for something.
You knew!
Well, the whole thing is just so weird because, you know, if he was secretly gay as well, was she in on that? Did she know about that? Did she know how many times he'd gone there just to try and pick up men?
Oof.
How does that affect a marriage?
And we know often that partners will keep all sorts of things from each other, and then when it all comes to on the surface, the remaining partner is just left gobsmacked because they're like, I didn't know this side of him. We know that this happens a lot.
Or she did know. Maybe she was helping him figure out a way through it, and part of that was to kill a whole bunch of gay people. I don't know.
The pair were married in 2011 and have a 3-year-old son together. Now, Mark Zuckerberg has also been asked to assist in the investigation because Mateen used Facebook before and during his attack to declare his allegiance to ISIS. So, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has been brought into that investigation as well, from a Facebook perspective.
Surely anybody who says on any kind of social medium, I am joining ISIS, we should immediately put those people into heavy surveillance. I mean, they should be watched very carefully. Or their social media accounts should be suspended. You know, there's no reason that we should be using these very, very decent tools. And social media, by and large, very useful thing, way to connect people. The minute you declare that you're on ISIS's side, they should shut down your account. I mean, these are American companies. Why should you be supporting terrorists? Or, if you're not going to do that, you should be brought in as an accessory. Like, the family of the victims should be able to sue Facebook for not having done anything when he said he was joining ISIS. ISIS is not, it's not like joining a political party, all right? It's not like joining a club.
It's not the book club.
No, it's not a Tupperware party. If you join ISIS, you mean to do bad things.
It's not a stock fail.
Exactly. So you mean to do bad things. You're probably going to cause some shit. I mean, it's a fairly extreme organization. This is not a night out with the girls. So if you join them, alarm bells should ring. Facebook should disable your account. Twitter should disable you. I mean, there's an ISIS Twitter account, and they just put stuff up there. And Twitter's like, yeah, no, well, you know, we don't like to shut people down. But they'll suspend people if they say, for example, that they support Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, Twitter and Facebook and, you know, other social media platforms, I mean, wouldn't they essentially need to employ, entire teams whose specific job description is canvassing and trying to spot any of these people who pledge allegiance to ISIS?
They're like, oh, well, it's none of our business. But it is your business.
Because it's a lot of work.
Otherwise, you know what's going to happen ultimately is that they just don't want to upset these crazies, because the crazies will come and shoot up the Facebook campus or something. So they're just trying to hedge their bets. I reckon they've got to be brought in. I mean, you can't. If the authorities need you to help them, you got to help them. I hope Zuckerberg is at least helpful. Useful.
No, I'm sure he will be. I'm sure he will be. He has no reason not to, and he's not under any kind of, investigation.
Right.
He's just helping them, by providing information.
All right.
Now, a Kenyan judge has upheld the use of anal examinations, which are used to determine the sexual orientation of a suspect. This is if they suspect that a suspect might be gay, because remember that being gay is illegal in Kenya and many other parts.
It's illegal in Kenya.
Any other countries on the continent, it is illegal in Kenya.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought it was just in Uganda and maybe Tanzania.
Oh, no. There are quite a number of countries on the continent that still look down on homosexuality. So this judge has upheld the use of anal examinations. This is what they do when they suspect that you might be homosexual in Kenya.
People are so sick.
Is they subject you to an anal examination. Why? I don't know.
I mean, what are they going to find there? I mean, what are you looking for, guys? This is so bizarre.
Dismissing the argument that the method amounts to torture and degrading treatment. So this is what happened. Two men were arrested in February last year on suspicion of engaging in sexual activity, which is illegal in Kenya. They sought a court order to stop the enforced examinations. The judge then ruled against them, saying there was no violation of rights in this process. Go ahead and subject them to the anal examination, because the judge said, I find no violation of human dignity, no violation of right to privacy, and no violation of a right to freedom.
An anal examination is not a violation of your dignity.
Or of your privacy. It's your body.
It's in your asshole. How much more private would you like it to be, Judge? What is this judge? Is he insane?
Now, help me understand. Is this different to what you will see, like, when you're watching a movie or a TV series, when prisoners come in, they make them bend over, and then they make them cough? Like, are they sticking things up there?
They must be, right?
Their anal canals in that moment. Is this what happens to all prisoners? That they get subjected to an anal examination?
I don't know. I mean, it just sounds to me like this is obviously some sick, twisted thing. You know, a lot of people who have these high and mighty morals that they usually get from some old book, they're very keen to get involved in other people's assholes. You notice that? They're very keen to get their gloves and their hands and their fingers into these places. Which makes me think that maybe there's something in them that they're not telling us. Like, maybe there's something they really want there that they're not getting. Why would you want to examine someone's anus to find out what sexual orientation they are? You're not going to find anything. It's not like people who have anal sex have different sphincters to the people who don't have anal sex. You can't tell.
And they're also making the assumption that heterosexual people don't have anal sex. There are some heterosexual people who will have anal sex.
And they're people who use toys, and they're people who use all kinds of things. And they're people who take big shits. What are you...
Ew.
Exactly. What are you on about? I mean, what are you going to find there? What kind of sick stuff is this?
I'd love to know what they actually judge it on. Like, they put their finger up there and they measure the circumference, or I mean, what do they do?
I don't know what they do.
There can't be a circumference, because it's a muscle that opens and closes. That's what it does.
Oh, gosh. What is wrong with us?
But why this kind of backward nonsense? On our own continent. First of all, why is it illegal to be gay in these countries? Why is that even allowed?
Yeah, what do gays do that are so terrible?
What are they doing? How are they a problem to the rest of society?
What are gays ruining that people? I mean, I woke up the other day and I thought, a gay hasn't ruined my life today. And that's every day of my life. Gay people are cool.
We should be thanking God every time we see a gay couple, because they're not making more and more children to fill up the earth. Just give them a bunch of flowers every time we see them.
Tax breaks for anything, gay people. Right. They shouldn't be banned.
No, exactly.
They should be applauded.
Thank you very much. Spot on. What is this? Such crazy thinking. You know, you cannot be... I reckon you should not be taken seriously. The UN should just throw you out if you're not... If you're the kind of country that makes it illegal to be gay. You're legislating on people's personal behavior. The UN should throw you out. You shouldn't be allowed to be represented at the United Nations.
There should be economic sanctions against
it. Same way as if you're a country that discriminates based on race, you should be thrown out of the United Nations. If you're a country that discriminates based on human rights and human dignity, you should be thrown out of the United... There'd be five people left in the United Nations. They can make all the decisions and save us the trouble.
Well, remember earlier this week we were talking about...
cost a whole lot less, too.
That video that was apparently posted by two women in Syria about how women are treated there.
Oh, horrible.
If you discriminate against, you know, women in that
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. End of your membership. Sorry. Bye-bye. I don't know why you even came to the party. Because how can you stand up in front of other nations where people are really free? Like, let's say you stand up and you're Syria, and you're talking about this, and we want that, and we demand this, and we expect this, and the world community must pay attention to this and that. And you talk to a country like Sweden, where men and women are equal, where gay people can live, where there's no racial discrimination. Sweden doesn't have to listen to Syria. What is this nonsense? Like, every country in the world is equal? No, they're not. Some countries are backward, stupid, useless, uninteresting, insignificant, weak, loser countries. And we should treat them like that. And places like Syria, and I'm afraid Kenya, need to be in there as well. Because they don't treat people as being the same, equal. So if you're not going to do that, then we won't treat countries the same. If you treat people differently, we'll treat countries differently. And therefore, you, I'm afraid, are out of the UN. Or you have to pay double the money to be in. And those countries that uphold human rights can pay half the money to be in. How about that? We make the shitty countries pay. It doesn't seem right to me. It really does not. And to show how base and simple-minded you are, you do anal examinations on people? You don't think that that's weird? You don't think that that's strange behavior? Madness. What else, Mubs?
All right, well, with just a week to go before the Brits go to the polls on whether or not they want to remain part of the EU, the situation has escalated to quite a scary level, Gareth, when a member of parliament by the name of Jo Cox, now she was campaigning for Britain to remain in the EU. She was stabbed and shot several times in her West Yorkshire constituency.
Wow.
And, you know, the authorities have basically concluded that she was killed because of her stance on the Brexit.
Do we know that, though?
Well, a 52-year-old man has been arrested, and police are investigating reports that the attacker shouted "Britain first" before killing her. Several independent polls suggest that the majority of Brits want the country to quit the EU, and it's just a week to go before they all vote in the referendum. A letter signed by various leaders from cities across the UK have said a vote to leave would put cities in serious economic danger. And then a group of 13 Nobel laureates have also warned against Britain leaving the EU, saying that it poses a risk to British science, to British science affecting science funding and policy. But yes, essentially, you know, the latest developments out of that investigation is that this member of parliament could have been killed by a disgruntled civilian who did not agree with her stance on whether or not Britain should be a part of the EU or whether they should exit. I mean, if it's going to get to this level,
but over a referendum, I mean, look at yourself. Whatever happened to people sitting down and talking to each other? So we disagree. Does that mean we have to kill each other?
Well, it would seem that that is what some people are opting for, Gareth. If I have a problem with you being a homosexual, I'm going to kill you. If I have a problem with what your religion preaches, I'm going to kill you. If I have a problem with your stance on whether or not Britain should remain, I'm going to kill you.
Eventually, we're going to kill each other over, you know what, I disagree that the sky is not that shade of blue. It's a different shade of blue. Kill each other.
It's insane.
Madness. The world is screwed up. We're in big trouble. Monique says, Mubs, you'd be forgiven for struggling with Henry van Breda's name on Wednesday. Your tongue always struggles with the name of a giant asshole. Still can't manage to pronounce Gedlehligis either. Avi says, gun store owner just came out and said that the shooter wanted to buy body armor suits. He turned him away and reported him to the FBI and nothing happened. That's the guy in Orlando. That's interesting. And Carla says, I think they put a dildo up the guy's anus, and if he looks like he's enjoying it, he's in big trouble. Well, I'd like to think that that's funny. It's probably, I mean, in the case of this actually happening, I think it's probably scary as all hell.
In South Africa, do we have like an FBI that we can report any terrorist activity?
It's supposed to be the Hawks.
No, I thought they broke down.
No. The Scorpions
were
shut down.
They were the Scorpions, and then they were dismantled, and then they put the Hawks in their place. And
how does one get hold of the Hawks, or do we have to phone SAPS, and then they put us through to the Hawks?
Well, it's part of the South African police, which is part of the problem. Yeah, so I'm afraid the short answer is we theoretically have these things, but they don't work.
I've, thank God, never, ever had to phone the police, but I heard that when you phone them, sometimes you get put on hold.
Yeah. You're like, there's someone trying to kill me. Please hold. They actually have on hold music that they use regularly. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. If you, here's the actual music that they put on when you're on hold with the police. We understand that you're being murdered, but please hold on while one of our operators takes a toilet break.
Hello? You want to report a crime?
Yes, please.
What is your name?
My name is Mabali.
What is the crime?
My house has been broken into and all sorts of...
Is it happening now?
No, no, I just got home and my house...
Oh, hold on. I got more of those ham and cheese sandwiches. Oh, I forgot to sit. Hold on. Hello?
Yes, I'm reporting a crime of robbery in my house.
Oh.
Yes.
What's your name?
Mabali.
Oh, okay. Did I speak to you just now?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. Do you maybe have some extra cheese in that sandwich? And a spa berry, please. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. I'll give you the change now. Hold on. Yes, hello?
Yes, I'm trying to report a crime.
Is anyone dead?
No.
Oh, hold on. Hello?
Sorry, is there like a department that you can refer me to?
No, I am the department.
Okay, well, I'm...
What do you want?
I'm trying to report the crime.
Oh, okay. Is it a rape?
No, it's a break-in in my house. The windows are broken, the lock, the door was forced open, and I've got stuff missing from my home.
Who did it?
Well, I don't know.
Well, then I can't help you. I don't know what you want from me.
I need...
Why are you calling during lunch hour?
Look, I'm going to need to claim from insurance, so I need
to... It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm still busy with lunch.
I need to report it with the police, and you guys need to give me some kind of, you know, document or something
that I can take. Don't tell me you must help me.
My insurance is going to want me to report it to you, which is what I'm doing. So can you please help me?
Well, if you can afford insurance, then you don't need me. Bye-bye.
That's what happens, right?
When was the last time you actually went into a police station to report something? Do you know that you've got to basically grovel to make sure that you don't piss them off so that they can give you their time of day?
And this is, can you imagine being someone who's gone through something really traumatic and you have to do that?
Well, yes.
You have to sit through that shit.
Anyway.
According to Jared, you don't phone the Hawks. The Hawks phone you.
Well, if the Hawks are calling you, you definitely know you've done something wrong.
Yeah, well.
You definitely don't want the Hawks to be calling you. All right. Lastly, Gareth, now, I don't know what you were doing yesterday, but the president was giving a speech on the 40th anniversary of the 1976 Soweto uprising by students.
All right.
Put aside for a second that he might be the president you love to hate, and just think about whether or not you agree with his message.
All right. What's his message? Let's keep an open mind.
Well, the president said yesterday that young students today need to take a leaf out of the students from 1976. And that the protests back then never resulted in damage to property. Not a single school was burnt in 1976, so why are today's students damaging schools, the president asked.
Has that moment finally come? Has he finally said something sensible?
Well, this is why I said, Vin, put aside your differences for a second and actually listen to the message. So the president has questioned today's students and saying, why are you doing this? He has called the conduct we see today unacceptable. He has said there is something wrong with us.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Blind squirrel and nuts.
He said destroying schools, clinics, trains, and other such services during a protest is not helpful.
He's right.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with him.
The president also touched on student funding. You'll remember #FeesMustFall, mm-hmm. saying students who benefited from the National Student Financial Aid Scheme need to pay back their loans so that other students can benefit. And this is a big problem, is that NSFAS provides money for people to go through a tertiary education system, and then these people are supposed to pay back that money once they start working.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a loan.
Yeah.
But a lot of them don't pay back the money, so then it becomes very difficult to have money available for the next crop of students
to finance. So everybody wants everything for free, but then, you know, nothing that's worth anything is free, ever. If you don't pay for something, at some point. It's worthless. So you think you're getting a degree. Oh, this is going to be great. Your degree is worthless unless you could pay for it. It doesn't, and no one's going to pay for it for you. What kind of, you know, nutcase are you if you think that someone else somewhere, some unknown force, some government somewhere is going to pay for your, no one pays for you to do, why should anyone help you? Get on with it and get your own degree. I mean, who paid for your degree, Peshitta? I mean, you studied public relations, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, who paid for you?
My mom couldn't afford to pay for me, so I got Nesmus.
Yeah, but yeah. You had to pay them back, right?
You have to slowly, but the thing about me is, like, I was top, so I would get half of my stuff cut down if you pass really well.
Absolutely, but that's called a bursary. That's different.
Yeah.
But no one gets, you don't get it for free. Nothing, yeah. Not a zilch, right?
Exactly.
Right. Flax, who paid for your studies?
My parents paid for my studies, but a nice thing that companies do, and more companies should be doing it, they'll pay for your studies, but then you pay them back by working for them.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't make you work for free.
They don't make you work for free. But I'm saying it's a good concept.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to pay my own studies.
My parents could afford to pay for me, but I love to tell the story of how the one semester I went home and had failed four of my subjects. And when it was time to go back to varsity, my dad sat me down and he said, okay, so here's the thing. I'm not going to pay for you to fail anymore. So you decide, are you going back to school to pass, or are you staying your ass at home to try and figure out what to do with your life? Because I'm not paying for you to fail.
Yeah.
And then I went back to school and I never failed again.
That man is very hardcore.
No, he doesn't mess around. He's very logical about things, and he's like, you are going to do this or do that, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, this whole idea, the president's 100% right. Just because you can't get everywhere, you can't have everything you want for free, you don't get to burn things down.
Exactly.
And you don't get to spoil it for everyone else who comes in your wake. You know, all these places that have been burnt down, all these schools, these university buildings, that's going to cost the people who come after you. So this year's crop of students, or next year's one, are going to have less and less facilities and resources available to them because you decided to burn something down.
Exactly.
Because you decided to destroy stuff. You don't have that right. You can't condemn future generations and years of people because you're unhappy. Who do you think you are? And so where? You're unhappy. You're going to a tertiary education institution. You are among the 2% of privileged people in this country who get to do that. Please. All such bullshit.
I'm reminded of, you know, we're talking about tertiary level here, but I'm reminded of Vuani. How many schools were burnt down in Vuani in
something
total?
Like 25 or
I mean,
whatever.
Do you think June exams are taking place in Vuani right now? No, they can't.
And do you think that this year's matric students, forget about the others who are also in trouble because the schools, obviously everyone from grade 7 onward, if it's a high school, they're not going to have anywhere to do this stuff. They're not going to have anywhere to write their exams. They're not going to have classes. They're not going to have teachers. They're not going to have textbooks. It's all gone up in smoke. So what happens? The whole country ends up carrying the children of Limpopo on their backs forever.
Yep. Well, that's a wrap of that, Gareth. Those are, you know, some of the more important stories that you need to be aware of from this past
week. I'm sorry it's mostly bad news. I apologize.
Yeah,
I really
it's been one of those weeks, you know?
It definitely has.
In the sport headlines, it was not the biggest week of sport. Russia was given a suspended fine by UEFA basically saying, misbehave again and you will be out on your ass. You'll go
home. It's Russia's fans that are so badly behaved, not the Russian players.
Yeah, it's their fans, Gareth. But what's the big question here is that if these guys can't behave, then how are they going to host the FIFA World Cup in 2018? So money's already changed hands, whether back, front, around the back, whoever it was. But it's a very good question. If these guys can't behave and more Russians have been arrested this week, but how are they going to host it? Big, big question around there. Sepp Blatter was back in the news for saying that European draws have been rigged. And holier than thou, Sepp saw it, but he didn't ever report it. which just made the story completely useless. Orlando Pirates got a new coach, Muhsin Ertegel. He is the new guy replacing Eric Tinkler. The Cleveland Cavaliers hit back big time in the NBA Finals and they're now taken to Game 7. LeBron James is just fantastic in Games 5 and 6. The Proteas also bounced back heavily in the West Indies. They thrashed the West Indies and are looking good now to top the log and go into the final, which is next Sunday. The European Grand Prix will take place this weekend in Azerbaijan. It's a street circuit. It's going to be an incredibly exciting race to watch. Although some drivers have the reservations about safety in certain corners, there's no runoff or anything like that, but it's going to be quite something. Street circuits are, well, we don't see too many of them, but they're really, really exciting. And the Alistair Garcia keeps faith in his Bock team that got dribbled by Ireland last week. And the Bocks have gone down to fourth in the world. And in the rankings, they're closer to fifth than they are third. So is the downward spiral going to continue or is this weekend going to be interesting?
Is there any one of our teams at the moment that we can take solace in?
Proteas. They're doing really, really well.
In the beautiful Caribbean.
In the beautiful Caribbean.
I'm angry with them because they get to spend like a month on these islands.
Our cricket team's looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good. And we can only be positive about it. We can't keep crapping on about all the things they're not good at. Right now, they're looking good. So let's be hopeful they can carry it on. And then in, the golf, US Open weekend. Lots of rain in the beginning, but it's going to brighten up nicely for the weekend. And 59 of the best 60 golfers in the world are going to be there.
All right, very good. Thank you, Ben. There's a look at your news and your sport. It is 26 minutes after 7. CliffCentral.com. It's a Friday. You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies. I hope I don't run out of time, cause someone call a referee. Cause I just need one more shot, have forgiveness. What the hell's going on here? Things cutting out like you can't believe. Alright, I don't know what happened to Justin Bieber, and sorry, it just doesn't seem to be working. So, what can I say except, sorry. Listen to that, it's now on, then it isn't.
Well,
technical difficulties.
It's pretty obvious what's happening here, isn't it?
What?
You and Flex have played this song far too many times.
Oh, Ben.
That's what's happening.
Hey, is there any Bieber news that you want to tell us? Has he done anything exciting or interesting in the last few days?
Not really. I mean, he dyed his hair and that's about it.
What color is it now?
It's bleach blonde again. But he hasn't got into any trouble or anything. After the fight, of course. Each one wanted to sue the other one, but they've sort of just left it seems.
Hey, Flax, I saw an app. Someone sent me a screenshot of an app. The Justin Bieber emoticons.
Yeah, everyone's getting their emoticons nowadays. You've got Kim Kardashian, Justin Bieber has... Black China has...
Yes.
Everyone's getting them.
All right. Very good. I just retweeted something now that Mubs showed me. This hysterical picture of a white crocodile posing for a picture and they're arresting a black crocodile.
Man, this is the world that we live in, I tell you.
Fantastic. All right, the last couple of days we've been talking a lot about parenting and, it comes up often in the news, whether it's things that have happened that kids have behaved badly and you wish they'd had better parenting, or whether it's parents who are stuck in a very awkward position because their kids are misbehaving. Parenting is hard. So what we're going to do is every week, probably on a Friday, we'll speak to Laura, who is Harassed Mom. That's her name. She writes a blog about being Harassed Mom. And, there are things that parents have to deal with that I really reckon the rest of us, even if we're not parents, might feel we need to sympathize with. So we're going to get her on in the next couple of minutes and speak to her about what kinds of challenges there are to being a parent that the rest of us wouldn't understand.
Like sucking the snot out of your baby's nose when it's blocked up
and the little
baby can't breathe. And then you have to suck it out with your mouth.
Please. Holy mother of God. Tell me that's not true.
Some mothers do.
Oh.
I'm sure there are plenty of utensils available these days that can make it easier for you, but some mothers have.
Oh, that's horrible. That's one of the most upsetting things I've ever heard in my life. All right, let's get on with it though. Let's see what we can learn from I got that mental picture now, and I just can't even think about it. Oh my God.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Mubs. All right, it's time to find out what it's like to be harassed, Mom. Hey, Laura, how are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, you know what? I sometimes think it would be really nice to have a little kid and maybe even two. And must be cool to be a parent because you see your own characteristics and those of the rest of the family in them, and you watch them grow and you see them learn. And I know I've got a little nephew, and he's very cute. And I've got two little nephews, and they're both very cute. And I'm interested in them and how they grow and what they learn and everything else. But God, it's hard work, right?
It's a lot of work. But I just want to first of all say that I've never sucked snot out of any one of my kids ever. Never.
Please, let's never talk about this again. Can we agree not to ever talk about that again?
Definitely.
All right. Now, let me get this straight. If you have a child that needs to go to a certain school, you basically have to get on that list as soon as you've conceived the child, not even when it's born, because if it's born, it's almost too late. Is that right?
That is right. And actually, I didn't realize it because my oldest is nearly 14, so things were a little bit different back then. But my little one is 2. Yeah. And I went in 2 weeks ago to the primary school of the high school that Cameron goes to.
Yeah.
And I just went in to basically fetch the forms because I was like, I'm just going to fetch the forms and do our thing. And the reception lady smiled very sweetly and she said, yeah, here's the forms, but there'll be a 2-year waiting list for my 2-year-old.
And when do you
she
have
should
to
have
send,
actually.
When do you have to send a 2-year-old to school? I mean, when he's
well,
4.
Well, she should have actually already been in. I should have probably when she was born, put her name on, and she should have joined the 2-year-old class, which would have been this year. And then that would have guaranteed her spot, basically, up until matric. And now my 5-year-old, who's got to do grade R next year, he's also on the same 2-year waiting list.
How many children do you have?
there's 4 of them.
Wow, you are brave. All right, so Laura, let me get this straight. 2-year waiting list means when do you start like nursery school? 4 or 5 years old, right?
No. They can start. Emma's actually starting now next term. So they can actually start. I mean, if you have to go back to work, they can start when they're babies.
So how do you get on these lists? This is impossible.
Well, the thing is, you've kind of got to plan your whole life around where your kids are going to go to school or where you want them to go to school. Because with the public schools, you've got to obviously be in the feeder area.
Yeah.
And you've got to kind of be close to the school that you want your kid to go to. And then you make a decision. And then what I ended up doing with Cameron was we applied at about 5 different schools eventually, because all of the schools were full and there were waiting lists and whatever. So we just filled in as many applications as we could and waited and hoped.
How big is a feeder area? I mean, like what sort of range do you have there?
I'm not 100% sure. It's not very big. I think it could be 12 to 15 kilometers from the school, I think, for the public schools. Obviously, with the private schools, if you can pay, you go on the waiting list.
Sure, and that costs an arm and a leg, right?
Well, every time you apply, you have to pay an admin fee of between 250 and 500 rand, okay? Even if your kid doesn't get in, all right? So you just pay that and you send your application form in. They don't give it back to you if your kid doesn't get in, all right? But one of my friends yesterday, she actually said she had to pay a 5,500 rand deposit, for this spot. So I'm not 100% sure how that school works, if they give it back to her or how that works.
Jeez.
But it's expensive because she's not guaranteed that her kid's going to get in.
Sounds like robbery.
Yeah, but what do you do? Your kid's got to get educated. So what do you do? What are your choices?
Do you know what kind of criteria that they use? Because you say that going onto the waiting list doesn't guarantee that your child will get into the school.
Yeah, what do they do? Do they bring you in and evaluate you? Do they make you strip naked and they search you and they check you out from all angles? And
Do they have a look at your bank accounts and see whether or not you'll be able to afford?
No, they do. They do. They do. You're asked for credit checks. But I know with the public schools, it's if you're in the feeder area. With the high schools, it's if you've got an old boy for the Pretoria boys type schools. And then if you had a sibling in the school, then you kind of moved to the front. And then obviously it also depends on how well you put together your kid's CV for high school specifically. So that's how it works.
Your kid's CV. Kids have CVs.
Yeah.
What do you put on that?
Well, you put on what your child's done, the achievements, how well they've performed, things like that.
So little Denise can not shit herself after the age of three, or little Sven manages to hold a pencil with at least four of his fingers.
No. It's mainly for the bigger kids. It is mainly for the bigger kids because obviously you're fighting. I mean, Pretoria Boys had 1,200 applications. They accept 300 kids. So you kind of want your kid at the top of the pile.
So what do you put on there? Like he's the best chess champion, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So if he's a, whatever sport he does, if he's achieved, if he's got his colors, that kind of stuff, if he performs academically.
It's so competitive.
Yeah. And this was all last year. I discovered all of this when we did the high school applications because I was just like filling in the forms and then it says attach a CV and attach this and attach that. And I'm like, but the kid's 13, like,
you poor woman. I mean, poor parents everywhere. You have to go through this hell just to get your child into the school. And then the pain really starts because after that, then you have to actually get them through the school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is horrendous. Now, yeah, I've been reading your blog, Harassed Mom, right? And the kind of stuff that you have to think about and the kind of things that you're doing, it's a whole universe of pain and difficulty. I feel very, very sorry for you when I read this.
No, there's no need to feel sorry for me. It's hard, but it sounds so cliched. But, I mean, it's fun. We have a lot of fun, but it is hard. But yeah.
Now, what do you do if your kid is, and yours aren't, I assume, but imagine your kid is very average and it's not particularly bright and it doesn't really have any athletic ability and it mostly just lies around and eats chips. And you have to now get this lump of lard into a school. What are your chances? You're screwed, right?
Yeah. And
your kid has to meet you halfway.
Yeah, but we actually did see it. We had parents that went to school with my son and their kid didn't get in anywhere. And they were basically scrambling literally in September last year to try and find a spot for the kid. So, look, you don't necessarily need your kid to be an A student. You just need to have something that you can work with, I think.
So, like, you know, Fat Larry can sing. Does that get him into the choir maybe? Maybe that's a way in for him. Is that what you look for?
Yeah, well, you don't have to just be sport. You can be academically strong or culturally strong or whatever, but just something, because the high schools especially, they're all about status. So they want you so that you can do something for them.
Is there just those three categories? There's sport, there's academics, and there's cultural. Are there other things too?
No. What
does it help
be?
If your kid is tall?
No, I don't think so.
Now, if you have just piles of money, obviously it's very easy because you just find a school that will take your money, right?
Mm.
I don't actually know. I'm assuming that it would. Obviously, money, if you can promise to build on a new science lab or something, you probably are going to get your kid in. Yeah.
Sure, like the the Laura Harassed Mom Science Lab wing. And then you know your kid could get in and all your kids will get in. I mean, that's how it works in America with universities. Is that, if you're a billionaire, you build on a wing to some laboratory and then your kids get in for free.
Laura, my brother was telling me how much money he's going to be paying for his 5-year-old next year. And it's criminal. And I want to ask you the same question that I asked him. Is all this money that you're paying justified? At the end of the day, do you go home and you think to yourself,
sure,
I can't believe I have to pay this much money? Or do you go home satisfied that, okay, well, it's worth it?
Honestly, with the kids, no, with the school where my kids are at, they're all in private school, it is definitely for us worth it. Cameron's at a great school. He was at a public school last year. We've now moved him to a private school, and it honestly is worth every cent that we pay. And my daughter's at a very small school. Again, it's worth it. We've really not had any issues with them.
And the teachers are good?
The teachers are good. They're open. We can talk to them. There's an open channel of communication. So honestly, I can't fault them. I mean, coming from a public school, which at the end of the last 2 years that Cam was there, it was really, really tough. You know, so maybe that's my point of reference is pretty low. So maybe that's why for me it's worked out. But I would pay the money over and over again for what they're getting.
Would you say the quality of his friends has improved when you've moved him to private school? Like he mixed with a lot of trashy kids when he was at the state school.
No, well, yeah, I'm rather no comment on that.
Did, for example, when he brought friends home to play and you realized that they were, you know, they were sort of brandishing half-broken bottles in their suitcases, that was a problem, right?
No, I can't say that. To be fair, I mean, he's a good kid, so he just, he had good kids with him. But we did see those on the outskirts of life, yeah.
All right, well, listen, Laura, we'll catch up with you once a week and you can tell us about some of the challenges of being a parent in South Africa in 2016. I think a lot of people can relate.
Awesome, great.
Awesome. Where can we find your blog?
It's harassedmom.co.za.
There we go. harassedmom.co.za. Thank you, Laura.
Pleasure.
Awesome. Oh. Imagine your kid's at some state school and brings home like gangsters as friends. So you decide, look, honey, it's time for little Lyle to be moved to a better school.
But guys, are we saying that every single state school in this country is that bad?
No, obviously not. There's some very good state schools. There's some state schools that are up there with the best of private schools. It's just that at private schools, you think they're better. It's not true.
Sometimes parents don't want to take the risk, Mubs. And I think that's why Anthony always talks about these private schools being listed and how well they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's a good business.
It's a huge business. Education in this country is a major, major business.
Education with a hint of peace of mind. If you can sell that, that's a good product.
Well, Lindsay says, I would be definitely very happy to continue paying what we pay for private education, especially for my son who needed a smaller class environment. It's worth every cent. Cindy said, filling in CVs just to get into high school, God help the average Joe. And Lindsay says she paid a 500 rand admin fee for her daughter's application form and then 5,500 rand once she had a place in the school. Straight, paid immediately. My son has to go to a remedial school. We had to pay 15,000 rand to get him in. It's all non-refundable.
I'd love to know what my mom wrote to my CV to get me into school. Like, I see great potential, possible sumo wrestler in the future. Could be a doctor.
Michael is a lovely boy. Likes to eat.
He has a brother, so that gives him 5 points. In your school.
I don't know what my parents would have put on my CV. Thank God they didn't have to write one for me.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, I was no star pupil.
But some of the schools now, they have this, like, feeder system. So, sorry, not a Michael sense, different one. So, basically, if you have, like, a pre-primary or something, if you get them in early, then they guarantee they will be in the school. So, you have to take them into, like, nappy shitting level, whatever they call it. Grade R.R. Martin or something.
Right.
I thought
Grade R.R. Martin.
I thought when Laura mentioned the feeder system, I thought it was because of the child was still breastfeeding and the mother could get to the school for lunchtime.
You thought it was the tuck shop.
You tell the truth. You just thought it was the tuck shop.
No, I swear to God, I thought that was the
feeder system. Your inner fat kid told you that, right? All right.
I drive past, it's like a daycare center or whatever, but they accept babies as young as 3 months old. 3 months old. Because, you know.
That needs almost nurse care.
Well, yes,
right?
They accept them that young because, you know, these days mothers have to go back to work.
Well, do you?
Yes. If you are going to take your child to these private schools, then mom and dad, definitely it helps if they're both earning a salary.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're just living, I don't know, beyond your means. If your mother has to leave you at a school at 3 months old, maybe she should be more interested in you than the money. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not even an either or. What the hell do I know about this stuff?
But with all this money, you've got to have a dual income now.
Mm. Yeah.
Because everything costs so much.
Yep.
Oy vey. It's heavy, heavy stuff, I'll tell you what. All right, let's listen to a couple of things before we get to a game with Flax, which we'll do in a second. First of all, here's a clip of the president when he was asked a question by Glynis Breytenbach in Parliament, and he just laughs it off. Do you want to hear what he said? Here's the president being asked in Parliament a couple of questions.
And that's the point I was making earlier, that if you don't have anything, no matter what are your circumstances, you have to follow the law. The law cuts whether there is a bone or no bone. It is the law that we respect. Thank you, Honorable Speaker.
All right, I don't know what he's talking about there, do you?
The Honorable Breytenbach.
All right, here we go. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Mr. President, you continue to undermine the authority of the judiciary by making contentious statements such as those that have been referred to already. After giving the Chief Justice an undertaking that you would stop doing so, will you desist and will you apologize to the judiciary?
I'm not sure whether I heard the question properly.
Honorable Breytenbach, do you mind repeating the question?
Not at all. Mr. President, you continue to undermine the authority of the judiciary by making contentious statements, such as those that have been referred to this afternoon. After giving the Chief Justice an undertaking that you would stop doing so, will you desist and will you apologize to the judiciary?
Honorable the President.
I'm not sure whether I'm understanding. I understand the question now, but I don't understand why it is, as I've just answered the question. Now, if I had not answered the question which the honorable member is referring to, which I've just explained, I don't know what is it that I must apologize to the Chief Justice about. I really don't understand, Honorable Speaker. Thank you.
Madam Speaker.
Yes, Honorable Steenhuisen.
Madam Speaker, the rules allow MPs to have their questions answered. The Honorable Breytenbach's question, with respect, was different. You see what happens when you actually abide by the rules. This is how the ANC behaves.
Honourable members, please allow Honourable Steenhuisen to finish his issue. What is the matter, Honourable?
He may have answered the Honourable Meshwe's question. The truth of the matter is the Honourable Breytenbach is referring to a different undertaking to the head of the judiciary in South Africa, which he said he would stop undermining the judiciary, and whether he was prepared to apologise. He can't say that he doesn't have to answer the question. He does. It's got nothing to do with the previous question.
Sure, Honourable Steenhuisen, the President has said he has understood the question when Honourable Breytenbach repeated it. However, he is not in a position to answer the way you might want him to answer. So I think let's just accept that.
Madam Speaker.
And Honourable Steenhuisen, please, let's not have an engagement on the matter.
Madam Speaker, I don't want to have an engagement with you. I just want my members to get their questions answered.
He has not answered, Honourable Steenhuisen.
You could not pay me enough money to go and work in Parliament. You could not pay me enough money. What a horrible, horrible place to find yourself. Day after day with these morons all arguing with each other. Aren't you bored? Can you believe this happens and we pay these people salaries? Outrageous. I would rather listen to homeless people. And that's exactly what I mean. Here's a homeless guy who joins in with a busker in an amazing spontaneous street jam. Do you want to hear it?
Okay.
This is way more fun. So imagine there's a busker sitting there playing a song and then this homeless guy joins in.
Summertime, and the living is easier.
It's a homeless dude, right?
Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your mama is good looking, yeah. So hush, little baby, don't you cry.
Pretty damn
one
good,
of these
huh?
Mornings,
what do you think of him?
You're gonna wake up singing, get a flu job, yes, and he fixes.
And there the homeless guy comes out in it. I love it. Wow. All right, so there we go. Isn't that cool?
That would be a nice story for like an X Factor, one exactly. of those shows.
That'd be fantastic. Except I think he'd be a handful on set. All right. You want to hear this? This is a clip. What is this thing about Reva? Let me just hear what this is. What is this, Flex?
That was something that Reva's dad said in court on Wednesday.
All right. Do you want to hear that, or are we over Oscar Pistorius and the trial? Let's leave it. I don't want to go back into this. I just wish they'd sentence the guy and be done with it now. I'm done with Oscar Pistorius. How about you?
Well, yeah.
It's enough. Enough already. One last thing before we play the game. Justin Bieber song, Yorkshire version, which maybe will please Ben and Mubs a little more than the actual version. So this is a version in a thick Yorkshire accent. Are you ready?
For all the times that I bought you a KFC and the time I took you up to watch Dundee United, I took you into B&M on a spending spree. I even let you have a drive of my Capri. And I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want my mates thinking I still give a shit, cause they'll just take the piss. So baby, I'll get me coat, cause I think that you're a twat and I don't want to hold back. I reckon you should know. Me mother don't like you and she's a pretty cool chick, and that's a me father, well he thinks you're a prick. And me nan thinks you're a knob, she wants to smack you in the gob. And now I know, I'd rather shag your Auntie Joan, and she's 90. If you don't like the way I look that much, then baby I don't give a flying fook. I thank you all.
Alright, very nice, isn't that cool? Let's get into some fun with Michael Flax this morning. It's time for a game. All right, Flax, we're ready if you are. What are we playing?
Today's game is called Questions That Rarely Need Answers.
All right. Are there answers or are we going to speculate?
Some of them have answers. Some of them we're going to have to put our brain together and come up with the best answer.
All right, let's do this. I'm going to nominate Pashida to go with the answer to the first question. But of course, we can all join in. Let's go.
Okay, so we all eat, and I don't know if it's jerkins or gherkins.
Gherkins.
We all eat gherkins, but what are they made out of?
It's a cucumber. It's a pickled cucumber.
Yeah, and then it's put in some solution, and it's preserved over a period of time. And then it's bottled, and it sits on your shelf for up to like 6 years or something ridiculous.
Americans just call them pickles.
That's right. They don't even call them gherkins.
It's pickles.
A gherkin.
Pickles.
Is that right? Have we got that one right?
Sounds right to me.
Gherkin.
I mean, they shape the same.
Yeah, it's a pickled cucumber.
What's a gherkin, Michael?
I thought it was a gherkin.
Apparently a gherkin is an actual kind of... it's a type of cucumber that they grow in West India. But I'm looking this up now because I want to be sure about this. It's usually smaller than the garden cucumber. Gherkins are cooked, eaten raw, or used as pickles. They're usually pickled. And by the way, blah, blah, blah. 4 to 8 centimeters. They are pickled in vinegar, often flavored with herbs, particularly dill, hence a dill pickle. Or they are pickled in brine, which is obviously just salt and water. So there we go. Next question.
Do any of you know if it is possible to cry underwater?
I'm going to go with no, because water needs to diffuse. Is that the...
What?
There needs to be a diffusion of water.
What are you talking about?
Are you talking about osmosis?
It must leave.
It must leave.
It must move from like one bit to like... So you, when you cry, it leaves your body, right? So you got from tears coming from within.
So obviously it's possible to cry because you can cry in any environment. You can cry in space.
Yeah,
but you can cry and not produce the tears.
Are we defining crying as the act of water leaving your body or an emotional breakdown?
Water leaving your body.
So then...
Yeah, then you absolutely could. I don't see why you couldn't cry underwater.
I think you won't be able
spit underwater.
Because of the pressure, pushing the pressure of the water in your eyes and then the pressure of the water outside, outside water pressure is greater, something like that.
Oh, if anybody has an answer to this, then give us a call.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you cry underwater? What do you think of that? No answers so far. Anybody?
Yeah, I'm still going to say no.
All right. Don't type up the answer. Apparently, we breathe heavily when we cry.
Yeah.
And because you can't breathe underwater, you'd end up drowning from swallowing too much water. So you'd most likely end up dead. Unless you have an air tank and a mask, if you had the proper gear, you could see the actual tears and you could breathe.
Ah.
Okay, so if you're diving, you can cry.
All right, well, that's interesting.
Well, that's fine.
Next question. This is going extremely well for a Friday morning.
Does anyone know why there is a light in the fridge and not in the freezer?
Wouldn't the light bulb freeze if it was in the freezer? And you couldn't see it? Yeah. It would dim?
Good question. My freezer does have a light.
Mine doesn't.
Your freezer has a light.
Yeah.
And it works, so it doesn't freeze. Yeah.
Well, I've got one of those fridge freezer combos. So, ooh, both have got a light in them. It's at the back.
What is the light for?
Don't.
Why do we have a light in the fridge?
Because at night you can't see what's in the fridge. It's like a dark cupboard if there isn't a light.
So then put your lights on.
But you can't see into the back of the fridge sometimes.
You can't.
Right?
You have to rummage there at the back there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, why not just turn your kitchen light on? Or get a torch. Imagine torches were attached to fridges.
Because it's really, it's so convenient to keep carrying a torch around every time you want to go to the fridge.
Yeah.
No, that makes no sense at all. I don't know. Do you have an answer for this?
No.
Anybody?
Well, no. You say that your freezer has a light. So, I mean, Flex's question is why the fridge but not the freezer? So evidently you do find...
Well, the other question is Gareth the only person in the world with a light in his freezer?
Yeah, this is another question.
All right, everybody who is at home, because there are a lot of people who are at home today because it's a semi-public holiday today. You know, some people won't be going to work. Go down to your fridge and freezer and tell me if you have a light. Call us on 0861-555-189 and tell me whether you have a light in your freezer and your fridge or if you don't have a light in your freezer, because we want to know whether this is an... I know I've got a light in mine. I can think of it now. If I open the freezer door, light goes on.
And also answer the question as to why typically the freezer doesn't have a light when the fridge part does.
All right. Well, we'll park that question next.
Hopefully Ben will know the answer to the next one. Why are boxing rings square?
To have corners.
Yeah. She has got it right there. You can go to your corner. Michael, it's a very good question, which I don't have an authentic answer for, but why were they called rings in the beginning?
Aren't rings round?
Exactly. They should be called squares.
The boxing square instead of the boxing ring. Another good question.
Damn.
You know, these may seem really stupid, but upon closer inspection, you don't know the answer.
To boggle your mind. Not unless it started out as a ring, and then they thought, actually, a square would be a better... shape, but then they just kept calling it a boxing ring.
It's cheaper to have four sides, right?
Yeah, look, I have looked this up. The name ring continued with Jack Broughton rules in 1743, which specified a small circle is the center of the fight area where the boxers met at the start of each round.
Yeah.
Because there's still a little circle at the beginning. The first square ring was introduced in 1838. Okay, so there was a ring you fought in, but the square sort of housed it.
Makes no sense.
No, so I understand. So within the square, there was a ring where the fight took place, and that was the boxing ring.
That showed where the fighters must stand. Because the fighters start in the middle, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So they probably, the rule was start in the ring, and then it was called boxing ring.
It doesn't make sense, even now.
But to Bashida's point, which is, I think, the better one, because boxers need to go back to their corners.
Okay.
And there's no corners in the ring.
Mike says, I have a light in my bedroom, and my bedroom is basically a freezer. And Sean says, I also have a light in my freezer.
Oh.
There is no reason that there's no light. Get a better fridge. All the lights will be insulated from the cold. There's no reason that you shouldn't have a light in your freezer.
Oh, so basically you've just got a cheap fridge.
You got a
is
cheap
what I'm
ass.
Hearing.
You got a cheap ass home appliance. That's what you've got. All right. Are there more of these questions?
Yeah, I've got a few more.
Oh, God. All right, let's drive everybody mad with the questions. See if you have the answer.
Why don't we ever see baby pigeons?
Huh. What? Baby pigeons?
When last did you see a baby pigeon?
Don't they surely they just mature very quickly. So you have them in the nest for a couple of weeks and then they're ready to go. They're full adult size.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So they chill in the nest till they're fully grown and then come out.
I think so. I mean,
that is such a good question.
Because you don't really see like miniature ones, do you?
Never.
All right, there's another one we don't have an answer for.
But I mean, which other baby birds do you see?
No, you see lots of baby birds. Often you'll see baby birds falling out of the nest as well.
Yeah.
Like little weavers or even doves.
Like, do pigeons have a sophisticated, like, nursery school system?
The pigeons are sending their chicks to private school.
That's what they do. The pigeons go there, and the day one, okay, these are statues. You shit on statues. Day two, this is corn. You eat corn.
Here are some interesting things. Quentin says, listening to the Cliff Central app at the moment, temperature in freezers are too low.
No, but we just discovered that you just have a cheap appliance.
No, Quentin, you got a cheap ass freezer. Hasitre says, listening to you guys, maybe the light issue is because the globe will freeze and try to switch it on, it'll break. No, well, we've dealt with that. You also have a cheap ass freezer, Hasitre. All right. Oh, my God, you guys are such a bunch of delinquents. I love it, says Cindy. Well, I'm glad you love it. I hate not having answers to questions,
so
especially things like this.
We have concluded that baby pigeons go to private school, and that's why you never see them.
Okay, here are the answers. Baby pigeons go to private school. You have a cheap-ass freezer. A boxing ring is just so that they could say, go to your corner. And none of the other answers are any good. Mm. All right, next one.
How old does something have to be an antique?
Wow.
Good question. Because I suppose even some things from the 1960s are now antiques. Like an old TV is now an antique.
Yeah.
Old radios are an antique. I don't know. Is there an answer?
I don't have an answer.
Doesn't it have to be like out of style, like a DVD or a video or something?
Something no one uses anymore? Is a DVD an antique?
Like, would a VHS be antique because they don't produce them? And then no one uses them. Is that what makes an antique?
Yeah, I was also thinking, is it when they discontinue...
All right, but a table can be an antique, and we still use tables, right?
But you just look at it, you polish it, and you're like, no, I'm selling it for a lot of money.
Yeah, it's basically just if it fetches a big price tag. I don't even know where to begin attempting this. You're an antique if you're older than... Let me think. If you're older than Credo Mutua, you're an antique.
Well, what is that in numbers?
Very old.
137.
Very old. As Duncan told us the other day, he's a very old man. All right, next one and last one, Flax, and then we'll move on.
Why do they call it a television?
Okay, so the vision part of the word is obviously because you
see it.
You see it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Someone look that up. There's got to be a short, sharp answer for that. Television.
Telly. Yeah, what does tele mean? Because you find
Latin?
It in
telephone,
telecommunications. Tele means something. What does it mean?
Telemundo?
Somebody look this up. Come on.
Okay.
Tele-definition.
Wow, I wouldn't... Michael, never would have thought the word television would have stumped Gareth, who knows Latin and ancient things.
Tele means to or at a distance.
Yeah.
Like in telekinesis.
So to view from a distance.
So in other words, it's something that's happening a distance away, originally. Telephone is a distance.
Telecommunications?
Telecommunications is speaking through, from a long way away from each other. So television means seeing something
far away. Okay, well there you go. Hey, we managed to answer one.
We got one right. We got that one. We got television and gherkin. Give us some points.
No, I think pigeon we got as well.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll take Pigeon then as well. In a short while, we'll speak to Mangoba Ngubo. He's the host of one of our shows here on cliffcentral.com. But I realized the other day, we know so little about the man. We must get him in here and find out all about his history, his story, what he does, where he comes from. He's a fascinating guy to sit down and talk to. I've had that experience once or twice. But today, we get to find out all about this guy. This guy, he's sitting right outside. He's busy doing a whole lot of work. Because he has like 500 different jobs. And I'm not even exaggerating. Easily. Maybe, okay, maybe 499. Maybe I'm exaggerating by one.
By one.
But it's close to that. All right, it's 6 minutes after 8, cliffcentral.com. When we come back, we'll meet Mangoba properly. And we'll take your calls. 0861-555-189. Got it? Everybody clear? Are we all good on this front?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's listen to this again because people seem to like it, and then we'll get into a song, proper song. Okay?
For all the times that I bought you a KFC, and the time I took you up to watch Dundee United, I took you into B&M on a spending spree. I even let you have a drive of my Capri. And I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want my mates thinking I still give a shit, cause they'll just take the piss. So baby, I'll get me coat, cause I think that you're a twat and I don't want to hold back. I reckon you should know. Me mother don't like you and she's a pretty cool chick, and that's for me father, well he thinks you're a prick. And me nan thinks you're a knob, she wants to smack you in the gob. And now I know, I'd rather shag your Auntie Joan, and she's 90. If you don't like the way I look that much, then baby I don't give a flying fook. I thank you all.
Cliffcentral.com.